Mr. Monique playing for us, taking our Bibles before us, we're turning to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, but before we read God's word, we'll unite our hearts in prayer with God's word open before us. Let us seek his face, stilling ourselves in his presence, conscious that we need his help for this meeting that lies before us. Lord, our heavenly Father, we thank thee for this great privilege of calling upon thy name. And we ask of thee even now that thou wilt empty us of self and of sin, that thou wilt fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that you'll help us in these few moments, Lord, before us, as we consider thy truth, thy precious word. We ask of thee that you'll give us hearts to receive it gladly. Lord, we pray that you'll give us hearts like thine, hearts divine. We ask of thee that you'll rid us of all that would hinder, all that would be of a man. And we ask of thee that you'll help us even now. Lord, bless the words of thy mouth. Bless us around the throne of grace, that thy name would be glorified, that man would be hid behind the cross. Remember the mission in Widna, as it commences tomorrow night in thy will. We pray for Brother Andrew that thou wilt fill him full of the Holy Ghost and with power. We pray for messages from thyself. We pray for a people to be brought out, and Lord, to hear words whereby they can be saved. And Lord, we ask of thee even now that thou wilt help us. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord, for it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things. And for thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 1. And we're commencing our reading at verse 1, reading down to verse 11. Philippians chapter 1. Let us hear God's word. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 11, knowing that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word for his own name's sake. Again, let us bow briefly before the Lord, seeking his face. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us even now. Lord, that thou wilt bless the words of thy mouth, And we thank thee for the song that we've even been singing earlier. We thank thee for the praise of thy name. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth. We thank thee for the man at thy right hand. And we ask of thee even now, conscious that he's praying in the power of an endless life, we pray in spite of us, use us for the glory of thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. 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 The Philippians, to whom the apostle was a very dear, he being the first preacher of the gospel to them, and the instrument of their conversion, hearing that he was a prisoner at Rome, send their minister and pastor, that is, Epaphroditus, to him to visit him, and by him, that is, a present to support him under his afflicted circumstances, and related to him the case of this church. And at his departure, he sent by him this letter, the design of which is to express his love and affection to them, to give them an account of his bounds and the usefulness of them, and how he was supported under them to encourage them under all the afflictions and persecutions that is, they endured for the sake of Christ. And this purpose was they endured for the sake of Christ to excite them. That was to love and unity and peace among themselves, and, well, to caution them against false teachers, Judaizing Christians that were for joining Moses and Christ, law and gospel, works and grace together in the business of salvation, to exhort them to a holy life and conversation, and to return them thanks for their kind present. And so the Philippians felt a very deep interest for the apostle. The scope of this epistle is to comfort them in the faith. Yes, to encourage them to walk as becomes the gospel of Christ, to caution them against Judaizing teachers, and to express gratitude for their Christian bounty. Full commendation and confidence are in every part, and the Philippians are addressed with a peculiar affection. All who are saved, all who are saved, are called to work, to diligently work. Men and women who are faithful, industrious, and such as lay out themselves, their time, their talents, and strength in their master's service, and do not indulge themselves in slothfulness and idleness. You see, we are all called to serve the Lord with a good heart, to be faithful, to be diligent in the work of God. We are called to be faithful Christian workers. And as a way of a title, well, the Christian worker's heart. The Christian worker's heart. You see, the highest honor is to the servants of Christ. And those who are not really saints on earth, well, they cannot be saints in heaven. Out of Christ, the best saints are sinners and unable to stand before God. There is no peace without grace, for inward peace springs from a sense of divine favor. The fountain and origin of all blessings. At Philippi, the apostle was evil and treated. He saw little fruit of his labors, yet he remembers Philippi with joy. Now, we must thank our God for the graces and comforts, gifts and usefulness of others, as we receive the benefit and God receives the glory. The work of grace will never be perfected till the day of Jesus Christ. the day of his appearance, but, well, we may always be confident God will perform his good work. And every soul wherein he has really begun it by regeneration, though we must not trust in outward appearances nor in anything but a new creation to holiness. You see, people are dear to their ministers. People are dear to their ministers when they receive benefit by their ministry. Fellow sufferers in the cause of God should be dear one to another. And so we see, firstly, a thankful heart. We see a thankful heart. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We see immediately a thankful heart. He renders thanksgiving, the object of which is God, to whom thanks is to be given at the remembrance of his name and the perfections of his nature for all his mercies, temporal and spiritual. The apostle, we find him here, he expresses his priority and interest in him. I thank my God, calling him my God, thereby distinguishing him from all others. That is, nominal, fictitious gods of the Gentiles, the idols and lusts of men's hearts. He was the God whom he served in the gospel. He says, I thank my God. I thank my God. God whom he served in the gospel, by whom he was sent, and from whom he received all his possessions, and to whom he was alone accountable. You see, a church that is bearing fruit by the grace of God, a church that is bearing fruit by the grace of God, casts his mind on these things, that none of this work was of himself, but was of God. I thank my God. I thank my God. He's under house arrest. Paul the Apostle, he's under house arrest, yet we find him still praising God. And truly the blessed man, well, he has a thankful heart. It's true we often forget the mercies of God, yet we should have a thankful heart. He had a special, particular covenant interest in him, had knowledge of it and faith in it, and therefore could draw nigh to God with freedom. Use confidence. Plead promises. Expect favors. And do all he did, whether in a way of prayer or praise and faith, and therefore was acceptable unto God. I thank my God. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He gives thanks to God for their remembrance of him at all times, and particularly at that time, by sending him relief in his present circumstances. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We also see in the Christian worker's heart, there is the prayerful heart, a prayerful heart. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. The apostle was a praying man. His was a prayerful ministry. Notwithstanding all his gifts and graces and high attainments, he was not above the work, and most certainly was not above the duty of prayer. and in which he was sensible, standing in need of assistance and direction of the Spirit of God. You see, as soon as he was converted, he prayed. As soon as he was converted, he prayed. That wasn't it recorded, "Behold, he prayeth"? He was constant. He continued to do it without ceasing. As he himself directs, he was constant and diligent at the throne of grace and was concerned for others as well as himself. He was concerned for all the churches and for this church and all the saints in it. It is true, it is very easy to slacken off in prayer. We see he was continually praying over them, always in every prayer of mine for you all. He was seeking the Lord's blessing. He was diligent in preparation. And well, this is vital. This is vital for each one of us. It's vital for the Christian worker to keep up in prayer. And simply looking at Paul's example, we also see a joyful heart. Philippians chapter 4, part B, or Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, part B, making request with joy. Making request with joy. You see, that is for what God had done for them. What God had done for them and continued with them, and so requests are to be made known to God with thanksgiving. When we request a favour of him, it becomes us to return thanks for what we have received. That is what we have received from him. And so we find tying in joyfulness with thankfulness and prayerfulness. They go together. Thankfulness, praying, that is prayerfulness, they all tie together. They tie together. And so a holy joy is the heart and soul of thanksgiving. That is thankful praise. And so thankful praise is the lip and language of holy joy. And so joy is connected with fellowship in the gospel, a fellow servant in solitary confinement, coming to prayer. And so his fellow brothers, his fellow sisters, they're all united in prayer, praying against the enemy. And they're joyful, joyful in the gospel, in the fellowship that they have one with the other. And simply because fellowship breathes joy in the soul. Those of like precious faith, joining at the throne of grace, praying for the work. Friends, this is what we need to do. Praying for the upcoming mission. Coming together. Thankful of the opportunity that we have. And prayerful at this opportunity. And joyful that we're in the Lord's work. And that we come together to pray for these matters. There is also a confident heart. Verse 6. Being confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, child of God, we can be confident. Not arrogance, not going in with some quality, but being confident that there's nothing lacking in God's part to support you. and to make you wise, holy, and happy, and bring you at last to his kingdom. That he which hath begun a good work in you, aye, you see, the work is his. The work is God's. God's in control. And so we have this confidence that any work God begins, he will surely finish. The Lord doesn't start a work, and I say it reverently, the Lord doesn't start something and leave it. No, when he starts something, he will finish it. He will finish it. Therefore, we can be confident in serving the Lord, as Paul was confident, because he knew who was doing the work. He knew who was doing the work, and the work will be made perfect, and therefore we have this confidence, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If God has said, I will, he most certainly will not say, I will not. There is no not in it. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And therefore we can be confident in the work of God, and this assures us that we can have confidence that the enemies of the church shall not prevail while the world stands. Christ will have a church in it. And finally, there is, well, a loving heart. A loving heart. Verses 7 and 8. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He loved them as his own soul. I have you in my heart. He loved them. He loved them as his own soul. And they lay near his heart. They were partakers of his affliction by sympathy and concern. And, well, their readiness to assist him. He had a love for these people. He had a love for these people. Naturally, he served this church because he loved them. He had a love for his people, a love for the souls of men, a love for the work, a love for the task, a love for the task ahead. Remember what Paul had said in his epistle to the Romans? Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul's desire and prayer for the Jews was that they might be saved. And there may be a group of people that, well, they dislike you. And there may be a group of people that don't agree with you. Yet, we must still have a heart of love for the people. Our eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. May this be the prayer of our hearts, to have a heart like this. As the hymn puts it well, I want, dear Lord, a love that fails for all, a deep, strong love that answers every call, a love like thine, a love divine, a love for high and low. On me, dear Lord, a love like this bestow. Lord, give me a heart like thine, a heart divine. Remember when the Lord came into this world, came unto his own, and his own received him not. Lord, give us a heart like thine, a heart divine. May the Lord bless these brief and small thoughts for his own name's sake. Let us